John chapter 14, please. John 14. Can it be? It is certainly an amazing thought to think that God loved us enough that he would die for us. It's really amazing. Thank you, ladies. They're singing at the ranch this week. It's a little group that we have for them. Appreciate their hard work. Appreciate Jenny Sanders putting the group together for us and working with them and getting them all ready. Anyway, appreciate their hard work, and they're going to do a good job. John chapter 14, let's start reading in the first verse. These are familiar words, I think, to all of us, but let's be reminded of them this evening. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Let's pray. Lord, help us this evening to take some time here and look at these few verses that we read, and Lord, others in the Bible. Lord, I pray that this would be a help to us tonight, that, Lord, we'd be encouraged in our faith, but also, Lord, that we'd be willing and ready to defend it, and Lord, that we'd be able to tell people what we believe, why we do so. Lord, particularly this subject, I pray that you'd help us to be able to get the truths from it. We'd understand it, that you'd help me as I speak. Give us a good time around your word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked about death, and the reason I've been talking about these, I think it's important for us to discuss important basic Bible principles so we can defend our faith. You know, a lot of cults and other religions out there believe certain things about certain subjects in the Bible. And it's good for us to know why we believe what we do and why we say what we do. Now, it's easy for them to just take and twist the scripture and to change it. And a lot of times their own translations that they've come up with or different books that they've come up with have different principles in it and things like that that they've come up with. And they're just able to point to that and say, look, this is what it says. But we need to be able to tell them what the Bible really truly does say. And there are certain subjects that they get things totally twisted and messed up on. One of them last week we talked about was death. And some religions believe that there's life after death, like as in reincarnation and things like this. Other people think that you're done. Well, tonight I wanted to talk about the next step after that, and that is the concept of either heaven or hell. And tonight I want to focus on heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place, and it's something that we don't often talk about. We just mention it in passing, but heaven is a real place. John R. Rice wrote a book called Bible Facts About Heaven, and it's a great book for all believers to get and unbelievers as well. But it's good for people to read so they can be encouraged and comforted about what happens after death and what really is involved in heaven. And it's very informative, but it's helpful in our discussion in this evening. So I may allude to it a little bit. And some of the information there that is talked about in that book, we'll talk about this evening. Now, while we all want to go to heaven, we're certainly limited in our understanding of what heaven is like, except for what we read about in the book of Revelation and perhaps other little tidbits here throughout Scripture. But tonight, we need to take an in-depth look at it, I think, and hopefully this will help us and encourage us a little bit. First of all, let's just talk about what heaven is. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. The Bible tells us down here, John chapter 14, verse number 2, says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a real place. Jesus calls it a place, and it's sure that he's referring to heaven, obviously, because it's talking about his Father's house. Some people think that it's some magical, mystical place up there in Neverland that nobody can ever go to or even think about, or it's just a place of, you know, who knows what. And people have different ideas about what heaven really is, but the Bible says it's a very real place. In fact, it's talked about in Scripture 583 times. So it is definitely something that is real. So heaven's a real place. Also, heaven is a place of bliss and happiness. Bliss and happiness. When you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, that in and of itself would give you bliss and happiness. But there are more things to it than that. In fact, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 3, it tells us that it is a place that's reserved for the saved people, but it is also a place that is free from any curse, the curse that we know of here on earth, the curse that has resulted in sin, death, sickness, sorrow, and so on. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." The curse is the reason for all the suffering and the pain we endure here on earth. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Did you know there's not going to be any bad people in heaven? There's not going to be any sickness. There's not going to be any more pain-racked bodies up there in heaven. No more cancer, no more incurable diseases, no more COVID-19. But you know, they won't talk about it up there either, which is also a really good thing. We won't have to wear face masks in heaven. Won't that be a great thing? But you know, there won't be any more riots. There won't be any more people trying to loot stores and steal things and call it something else that it's not. There's not going to be any more lying, cheating, stealing, murder, fornication, any of those things. That's all going to be done away with. That's all part of the curse, and there's no more curse in heaven. Well, I can't imagine a world without death, sorrow, crying, or pain. Can you? It's because that's all we know. It's all we've seen all of our lives. You see, the curse brings that about, and in heaven, the curse is gone. That's something to get excited about. You know, heaven is also a place that's filled with grandeur and beauty. Turn back to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Now, I'm going to give you some things here out of the book of Revelation. To be perfectly honest with you, I don't know what this is going to look like. We can get some idea. We know what it says. But I can't tell you everything that's going to be there. I can just tell you what's here. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions." There's that word. Oftentimes here on earth, we think of mansions as big, huge homes. We think of somebody that has winding staircases and marble floors and granite countertops in their kitchens, you know, and everywhere else in the house, and gold trim and things like this. That's what we think of with mansions. But you know, the word mansions there in John chapter 14, verse number 2, doesn't mean a big house. It just simply means an abode. It just simply means a dwelling. That's what it literally means. But in our minds, we conjure up different images. Now, will the houses be big? I don't know. They might be. Will they be huge? I don't know. Will my mansion be bigger than somebody else's? I don't know. Well, we have no idea what it's going to be like. Will I even have one? Will it be mine to own? I don't know. We don't know that sort of thing. But we do know there are lots of dwellings and abodes there. The city of New Jerusalem will actually have some pretty remarkable things in it, characteristics like we've never seen here on earth. Notice Turn down there to Revelation chapter 21, verse number 6, and says, I'm sorry, not 26, 16, verse 16, sorry. Let's start in verse number 10, then we can get into that. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. It's going to be foursquare. This is what the New Jerusalem will look like. Foursquare. Now, when we talk about foursquare, it's like a cube. That's what the city is. It's a cube. It's as wide, as high as it is long. So it's 12,000 furlongs. Now, there are 10 furlongs in a mile. So if you do the math, you'll come to about 1,500 miles that each side is. Okay, 1,500 miles. Verse 17 here tells us, you measure the wall thereof, 144 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. The gates, the walls, are 140 cubits high, which would make them about 210 feet high. That was pretty high. It'd be difficult for an army to get over those kinds of walls. The city of Babylon, they say, had walls that were 325 feet high, and so wide you could drive a couple chariots on the top of the walls. They were that thick. Now, the city of New Jerusalem is going to be 210 feet high or so around that area. Think about this. This is a cube. Now, if you were to take 1,500 miles, and let me just kind of give you some idea of how that would fit here in the United States of America. If you were to start in southern Alabama and go straight west 1,500 miles, you would come to about Tucson, Arizona. And then if you were to go north 1,500 miles, you would go almost to the border of Canada and the United States in Montana. And then if you headed east all the way over to Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, which is right at the top, the tip of Michigan and Canada, and then come straight back down again all the way to Alabama. That's about 1,500 miles. Now, you say, can we fit enough people, or is that big enough to fit all those people that are going to be in heaven? Yes, actually. Did you know that you could fit the entire world population in Jacksonville, Florida, and give everybody about 3 square feet to walk around in, and there'd be enough room? So, you can fit everybody in 1,500 square miles, give them all plenty of space to walk around in. Sure, it's going to be plenty big. In fact, you could fit everybody that's ever existed in the history of the world in there, and everybody would fit just fine. But it's going to be big. It's a huge city. Now, somebody may question whether or not the height here contradicts verse 6, which says 16, which says the city is 1,500 miles high, or 12,000 furlongs high. It says the wall is 140 cubits high. Now, the city itself goes up 1,500 miles, but the wall is 210 feet high. That's what that means there. Going on, verse 13 says that there were 3 gates on each side of the city. So that means if they're all spread apart exactly correct or exactly the same distance, that means you would have 1 gate every 500 miles all the way around. 12 gates total, 3 on each side. The walls, the Bible says, are made of jasper, which many have said is virtually an indestructible stone, indestructible gem. It can't be destroyed in any way. The city is made up of gold, The Bible tells us that. Verse number 18 says, "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass." Imagine that. Gold that's so pure, it's clear. The city made of gold indicates that the insides of it are, or maybe the city all the way up the 1,500 miles is made of pure gold. Not exactly sure what that means, but there are some speculations about that. Probably all the streets, all the buildings, everything else is made of gold, like pure glass. Verses 19 and 20 tell us that the foundations are all different stones. Verse 19, "And the foundations of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, and 12th an amethyst." Now, I could show you a picture of all of those, but the idea is that the foundation of the wall, the very bottom of it, is all made of precious stones, 1,500 miles all the way around. Precious stones, actually more like whatever, 1,500 times 4, whatever that would be, all the way around, 6,000 miles of precious stones is the foundation. But these foundations are below the walls of jasper. The Bible tells us also, too, verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Amazing. This world, the heaven, the New Jerusalem, is going to be an amazing sight for us to see. Now, being materialistically minded like we are, we think that is going to be awesome. And you know what it is. But there's more important things than that. Heaven is also a place of eternal provision. Notice Revelation chapter 22. Verse 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were of the healing, were for the healing of the nation." The Bible talks about a pure river of life coming out of the throne of God, running down the streets on either side. You see a river of water, and there's streets on this side, there's houses on this side, and there's dwellings on this side. It runs right down straight through the middle of heaven. There's also a tree of life near the throne of God. And that's what people eat of, I believe. They want to eat up in heaven. Yields a fruit, 12 manner of fruits, yielding one every month if we eat of it. I don't know if we will or not. I don't know if that's what it's for, but I suppose so. Just not sure. Bible doesn't indicate that there. We have no need of light also because God gives it to us. There will be no more darkness. But you know, heaven also does not have certain things. Heaven doesn't have a temple. Doesn't have a church building. It doesn't have a place for people to worship because that's what heaven is. It's a one big place of worship. It has no light there because God is the light. When I say light, that means no candles or anything like that. Verse number 5 says, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." There's no need to shut the gates. We oftentimes think of gates to keep people out, to protect ourselves, but you don't have to shut the gates. Because nobody can get in. Verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." There's no wickedness there in earth, in heaven. Verse number 15 tells us about that. And then, of course, we've already talked about the fact there's no curse in verse number 3. Heaven doesn't have certain things. Now, I just want to mention one other thing here before I move on to something else. But you know, heaven in the Bible had a couple of different names, several different names. One of them is, of course, heaven. The other is paradise. Luke chapter 24, verse 43, Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise," speaking to the thief on the cross. 2 Corinthians 12:4, "How that he was caught up into paradise," this is Paul, "and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Revelation 2:7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So it's called paradise, and then thirdly, it's called Abraham's bosom. Luke chapter 16, verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." Some people think it's some sort of holding tank. Obviously, Catholicism believes in a purgatory. But that's not what it is. Abraham's bosom is just another name for paradise or for heaven. I don't believe it could be a purgatory of any kind because Lazarus was in bliss. He was comforted, he said, and the rich man was tormented. So Abraham's bosom is, I think, another name for paradise or for heaven. Zion, or Mount Zion. There was a special spot on the southern side of the city of Jerusalem that was called Mount Zion. But God also refers to his heavenly city as Zion. Psalm 9:11, "Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings." Psalm 48:1-2, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. The temple was on the south side of Jerusalem near Mount Zion. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 says, "But ye are coming to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." So Zion, or Mount Zion. And then the final name we find is New Jerusalem, which we've already discussed, Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, and then Revelation 21, verse 2, both speak about the New Jerusalem as being heaven. Now, the question many people have, where is heaven? Where is heaven? Wouldn't you like to know where heaven is? Yeah, maybe? No? You're looking at me like, are you crazy? No, would you like to know where heaven is? I would. I'd certainly like to know. Well, there's three kinds of heaven talked about in the Bible. This is important to understand. The first kind of heaven is the clouds and the upper earth's atmosphere. That's the first kind of heaven. There's a second heaven, which is the space, sun, moon, and stars. Deuteronomy 4:19, "Lest thou lift up thine eyes into heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven." So he talks about space being sun, moon, and stars, galaxies. But then there's a third heaven. This third heaven is where God abides with his saints and angels. That's the heaven that we've been referring to tonight. But it is also talked about. The Apostle Paul says that he was caught up unto the third heaven, which would be heaven where God is. So the question then is, where's heaven? We've established what we're talking about here, but where's heaven? Well, when you talk about heaven, where do you say heaven is? I didn't hear you. Up. Yes, heaven is up. In fact, the Bible confirms that when people talk about heaven, they point up. Interestingly enough, talk about people that don't know the Lord, you say, where is hell? Where do they point? The opposite. They point that way. We can talk about that another time. But when people talk about heaven, they point up. Psalm 139, verse 8 says, "And if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." Proverbs 30, verse 4, "Who hath ascended up into heaven, or who descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists?" Matthew 14:19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. So when Jesus spoke to his Father, he looked up to heaven. Luke 24:51, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Acts 1:10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Up. 2 Corinthians 12:2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one was caught up into the third heaven. When Elijah went up in the whirlwind, did he go up or down? He went up, and he was gone, because Elijah went to heaven. That still doesn't answer our question, where is heaven up there? We don't know, really. Heaven is the wondrous home of God, and for us someday has to be somewhere out in space, I'm sure, where man cannot see. John R. Rice says it's a real place, a place as literal and concrete as the house you sit in every day, as physically real as the city where you live. Human telescopes cannot see on what distant planet or star is the paradise of God, where in the tabernacle of God with its streets of gold and gates of pearl, Jesus is preparing many mansions. But though human eyes are too dim to reach it, it is there, a physical place. Now, I think the Lord has kept heaven from our view. It's there, but there were times when God kept certain things from people so they couldn't see it. Like, for instance, remember when Jesus came back from the dead? He was walking with certain people, and they didn't know it was him. And then the Bible says that he opened their understanding and they realized who it was. Well, you know, God could do that with us in heaven. It could be right there and we don't see it because God hasn't revealed it to us yet. I don't know. I really don't. But it's there. It's somewhere and it's real. Apostle Paul said he was in the third heaven and he couldn't talk about it. So surely God would not allow us to be able to see it at all while we're here on earth. Now the third question for us tonight, who is in heaven? Who is in heaven? Well, first of all, God is there. God sits on the throne in heaven. Deuteronomy 4:39, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and above and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Ecclesiastes 5:2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Daniel 2:28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. God is on his throne in heaven. Revelation 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. God is in heaven. Jesus Christ, obviously, is God as well, but he's also in heaven. Revelation 5:6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Revelation 5:8, and when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. Revelation 22:1, and he showed me that pure river of life, and again it was proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the power of his word, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is in heaven. You know, Jesus Christ was always in heaven, by the way. In eternity past, Jesus was there. He created the earth. By him, all things consist, the Bible tells us in the book of Colossians. So Jesus has always been, and he always will be, because Jesus is forever. Jesus is eternal. So God will be there, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit obviously will be as well. But then Old Testament saints, these men and women who came to faith in the coming Messiah will be there. Abraham is there. Samuel is there. We know because Samuel appeared to Saul when he brought him up there with the witch of Endor. He saw Samuel. He talked to him. David is there. He said, I can't bring my son back, but I'm going to go to him. Lot is there. He was the righteous man who turned worldly. There are other wonderful New Testament saints that we could mention and talk about, but our Old Testament saints, excuse me. But the point is, there are Old Testament saints there as well as New Testament saints. These are people who have been saved, who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. They are there. They live there. And they dwell there even to this day. The Bible tells us that we are encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Well, many people believe that the cloud of witnesses are people who are in heaven. The New Testament saints who are there waiting for us and perhaps even cheering us on. I don't know if they are, but that's kind of what the idea there in the passage looks like. So can we enjoy heaven? Someday we will, yes. Now, we can't enjoy all the benefits of heaven today because of our sin, but we can enjoy some of heaven. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, we can never be what God is. We can never, because of our sin, enjoy the entire glory of God or the heaven that God has made for us. Because God can't let sin into heaven. So for now, we have to remain here on earth. This is why I have such a hard time with the concept of reincarnation. When I leave this life, I'm going to be advanced to heaven. I'm not going to come back as something else. I'm not going to come back as a cow. I'm not going to come back as a chicken or a rat or a cockroach, thankfully. I don't want to die and wake up in the presence of a bunch of people or wake up in the presence again as another creature in a sin-cursed world. I want to wake up in the presence of the Lord, healed of any sicknesses and diseases that I have, free from the wicked filth of this world, and also free from sin and the curse. And that's what's going to happen according to the Bible. But did you know you can also enjoy the benefits of heaven, some of them here today? You know, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy the greatest benefit that there is in heaven. Did you know that? When Jesus said many mansions there in John chapter 14, verse number 2, it was speaking about abodes or dwelling places, as I've already mentioned. If you want to go back there, we'll actually end here in John chapter 14. The term mansions, abodes, is only used in the Greek, that Greek term there is only used one other time in the Bible. It's only used one other time. We have, in my Father's house are many mansions. The only other time that it's used is actually down in verse number 23 of the same chapter. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Abode is the same word as mansions in verse number 2. Many who have lived before us and have done so with the help of the Lord have displayed a life full of joy and happiness. Have you ever known anybody? It just seemed as though the Lord radiated their whole life. Everything about them just said Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was living through them. We know what was happening is they were living verse number 23. The Lord came and made their abode with him. You know, even people that were in the face of persecution, even execution, they seemed to have peace and happiness right before they died. They stood before the executioner's sword and often showed the love of Christ, perhaps even singing as the flames licked at their feet and consumed their bodies. There were others that faced execution the next day, oftentimes witnessing to their captors. Peter and John, when they went and healed the man that was born lame, they were captured and put into prison and put into hold until the next day. And then they stood before them and had a trial. And they threatened them and told them to not ever speak about Jesus Christ again. And they went back, the Bible says, and they had great joy. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. How can that be? Well, it's because they were living verse number 23. Stephen, when he was being stoned, the Bible says his face looked as if it was the face of an angel. How is that possible? Stephen was living verse number 23. See, the reason is they were abiding in Christ, enjoying that peace of heaven there on earth. When I say peace, I mean P-I-E-C-E, not P-E-A-C-E. They were enjoying a piece of heaven or a part of heaven while they were here on earth. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be full of grandeur and amazing things that we can't imagine here on earth. It's going to be filled with peace and happiness. It's going to be filled with joy. It's going to be filled with no more pain and sorrow, and all of those things are going to be gone. But let me tell you, the most important thing we're going to have when we get to heaven is Jesus Christ. It's going to be our relationship with God, and we're going to get to live with Him forever and ever. And we think, isn't that going to be kind of boring? No. Let me tell you, it's not. It's going to be fantastic. But did you know you don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy Jesus Christ? You can enjoy Him right now. You can have a little piece of heaven right now. But it comes with verse number 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will come unto him, or my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The most wonderful thing about heaven will be the fact that we are with God. We'll take our crowns that we get, we'll cast them at His feet, and rejoice and give thanks to Him for all eternity. We'll be able to sing praises. We'll be able to sing, and everybody will be able to sing right on pitch, and there won't be any trouble with that. We'll enjoy it together. It'll be great. But you know, we can have such a relationship with God now that when we do pass from this life into the next, that the only thing that changes will be our surroundings. See, we won't step into His presence because we're already there. We've been living in His presence all the time. You see, this only happens when we walk with God every moment of every day, enjoying His fellowship and His relationship. And it comes when we obey His commandments, when we love Him like He loves us. My question for us tonight is, are we living in heaven right now? Are we enjoying the peace, the joy, the happiness that we will see in heaven one day because we have such a beautiful, wonderful relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ? Are you enjoying heaven on earth? Let's take that thought and let it sink in and live our lives in light of that. Can people see Jesus in us? Well, it starts with us just simply yielding to Him, getting rid of all the excess garbage that's in our life, and letting God teach us and spend time with us and enjoy the fellowship that we can have with Jesus Christ and have it right now. Is your abode settled in heaven? When you die, are you going to go to heaven? If not, you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven tonight. You can be saved tonight and get that taken care of. But are you living in heaven with Jesus Christ right now? Because you certainly can, because that's the most important thing about heaven anyway, is our relationship with God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for what we've learned tonight. It'll be a wonderful day to stand before you, to be able to step into your presence. We look forward to that day. But Lord, right now, we can still enjoy the most important thing of heaven, which is to be with you. And Lord, we can enjoy heaven on earth. Lord, help us to make our abode with you right now, not wait when we get to heaven. And Lord, do it right now. Help us to desire to have a stronger, deeper relationship with you through our obedience to you, yielding to you, and then, Lord, just walking in fellowship, enjoying that time with the Bible, in the Bible, and praying and talking to you every single day. Lord, help us tonight to take those important steps we need to make our abode with you, we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, a couple of questions. Who would say this evening, we talk about heaven, I'm not sure I'm going there. Not sure that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it tonight. I want to go to heaven and be with Jesus, but I'm not sure I will. But God's speaking to me tonight. I'd like to know for sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Anybody like that? Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know for sure that I am. Second question, who would say this evening, I haven't been experiencing heaven here on earth because my relationship with the Lord isn't what it should be. God's speaking to me tonight. I want that heaven here on earth. I want that relationship with God here on earth. God's dealing with me about some things. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would slip your hand up. God's dealing with me tonight. Good. Just a moment, we'll sing a song of invitation. If God's speaking to you, would you come and do business with the Lord this evening?